tras Italia. Singenankinga yokuhlala phansi, ngacela senze lokho. Members, we trust you had a good weekend. It's not election yet time, and we know how members behave when it is election time. You do not want to be with them. And at times also some of us in the administration and entities, you will hear them also, you know, being very political as well. It happens. It's natural. All have views. None of us is neutral. Am I correct, Mr. Van Dalen? None of us is neutral. For as long as you are a living human being, we have a program of today that has got us to deal with two entities, and again, we are still in a process of dealing with the almost an hour
without having to really bother into the details. Those who shall come out of question time. And of course also the assumptions that members have a rare set of meetings. Without waste of time, we shall hand over to the PCB. Usually also we take a trend of the board of these entities presenting themselves and allowing the administration to run with presentations and so on. We get to know also the board that is within this entity. Let alone that the legislation does not allow us to get any scrutiny on the workings of those boards. But we shall get there. We just had a discussion here on the recommendation for ASC. It's a bit of a difficult one because we're expected to check as to whether or not the seven members of that board can be continued for another term or not. And we had to make that judgment based on some understanding of whether or not they've been doing work, let alone getting to know them. So that's what happens. Again, the major issue there talks very much to the extent in which that legislation that governs that entity is crafted. It allows us very little time, if any, opportunity to be able to interact with that board and to get to know who is that board and what that board is doing and how it's performing. But it always gives us pleasure for us to be able to listen to any of the board that is before us before we get there for issues entailed within the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you for the privilege to be here as a PPCB and the representative of the PPCB. We would like to make use of this opportunity maybe just to introduce the different role players, PPCB, the board members, as well as our senior leaders here today. If I can maybe just ask the person to you, if I mention your name, just to raise your hand to see you. Okay, myself, we both have chairperson of this board, and then Mrs. Sakura Bond, she's the vice chairperson of the board as well as the chairperson of the HR committee. And then if I look on the right hand side there, the alumni representing the grades. If I look further, I see Mr. Henry Pacha on the other side. I'm not going to mention who the representative of that massive time. This is Kimi Engelbrecht. Mrs. Marianne Brademan. Any other board members which are doing out at the moment? Okay, Mr. Tim Brazell next to me. Apologies. No. Okay, that's the board members here, and then apologies from Mr. Duffy Smith and Dr. Peter from here.
Then I would like to introduce you to the GenCo, a new team of people together taking the PPCB forward, or some of them new, Dr. Nyker. Management of the laboratory, then Mrs. Mataya, responsible for the northern region, Mr. Cyril Julius, the coastal region, Sol van Wijk, the southern region, Mr. Nkosana Mabona, IT, Mr. Janssen, corporate affairs, Mr. Johan Swebus, the CFO, Mr. Zaki Makaya, HR, okay, the CEO, Mr. Simiting, you know, and then Mr. Gabby Guess, legal affairs on a contract basis. If I can maybe just give a short introduction. If we look at the biggest challenges of the PPCB today, citrus black spot. I believe it's a threat for our citrus industry, but also can have a major impact on the PPCB. If it happened to be that citrus export to Europe being stopped, we will end up with a 40 million deficit within this organization. And that will leave a significant hole in our budget. We're in a new era where information is very important. Electronic verification of information, vital for our industries. And in the PPCB, therefore, it's one of the major challenges from a business point of view to get into this electronic era and to improve our data systems and the availability of that information. I think also very important that two revised acts will be presented to Parliament hopefully later this year. Therefore, Mr. Covey, guess here if there's any specific questions on that. But that can modernize our business, and it will have a significant impact on the financial model of the PPCB, make it also sustainable for the future. Human capital development, always a high priority. Our people, very important to take this business forward. That in very short, the PPCB as introduction, I would like to hand over to Mr. Stuart Symington to give the presentation. Thank you.
Morning, Chairman. Morning, Portfolio Committee. Good to be back and to meet with you again and discuss progress and challenges going forward. We will split this presentation into two parts. First of all, the strategic part with our major programs. And then after that, I'd like Johan Schibbus, our financial manager, to go through the finances projected for the coming year. I think our chairman's outlined some of our challenges very succinctly. I think what's very important from the document that's in front of you on our strategic plan is that a lot of what we did in 2012 has really set the scene for 2013, 2014. I'm not going to harp on 2012, but to tell you as a portfolio committee, it was a very tough year at the PPCB. We instituted many changes, necessary changes, and it was a classic pain for gain. We've had very good support from the operational staff at DAF, so we express our gratitude for them, to them. It was a year in which I think the PPCB is glad to have jumped that hurdle and have set quite a good stage for the future, as long as a couple of things in our path don't grow too big. So without harping on the past, going forward, I just thought it would be good to clarify for the Portfolio Committee Chairman that the PPCB operates at the heart of the chain, the value chain. Quality inspections, whether it's of the cold chain or the product or food safety matters, is really at the heart of our export chain. And one thing we've had a difficulty with as the PPCB is that while we're at the heart of the chain, we actually haven't seen our export volumes grow at all in the last 3 years, which has put immense pressure on our income. We've had to, but our costs keep going up and up. So we've had to try and be smarter in the way we operate, so much so that our mantra for 2013-14 going forward is working smarter. And I'll give you a couple of examples where we've managed to cut our costs significantly without compromising our service delivery. I've put the two acts up here up front, the Cold Chain Act, better known as the PPEC Act. You will see it was last promulgated in 1983, so the act is 30 years old, and the world has changed substantially in the last 30 years. Even in the last 5 years for the PPCB, it's morphed so tremendously that we are anxious that Parliament can see its way clear to putting this act through this year for us. This act basically covers the sterilization cold treatment in the chain. It covers all the equipment certification and the temperature management. And it was also the act which used to hold all the shipping, which we've managed to remove from the act, because we don't organize the shipping any longer. And it's the act which appoints our board and our CEO. So it is an important act. It needs substantial upgrading. We've done that. We've spent the better part of 2012 revamping that act. So we hope that there's not too much of a challenge for that to go through Parliament this year. The second act we're involved with is the Product Standards Act, Agricultural Product Standards Act. That's managed by DAF, and we've worked closely with the executive officer and his team in giving input to the amendment of that act, which is also quite old, 23 years old. And that deals with food safety, the maximum residue levels allowed on of chemicals allowed on product going overseas, and the end point inspection product standards. What's quite important about this act, Chairman, is that because the business model of the PPCB is an old model operating in modern times, we look forward to potentially the opportunity of this act giving the PPCB the right to audit various customers who qualify for an audit rather than visiting them daily on an endpoint inspection basis. Somebody drew the analogy for us once that it's like a traffic cop on the side of the road stopping all cars whether they're speeding or not. And it would be better if we stopped only those who were speeding and let those go through who were paying attention to the law. But we are hopeful that this act will also be passed through Parliament this year. And I believe these two acts which govern the PPCB are two of 36 acts that DAF is putting on the table. So it's a busy year on the legal front. We've revisited our vision and our mission and our objectives and values as an organization. We felt that modern times called for more modern thinking. Our vision is very simple. We want all buyers of perishable products overseas to say when they want to buy a product, let's get from South Africa first. And only if they can't buy from us, then let them think of somewhere else they can buy from. But we would like to be first in mind with buyers overseas. So we need to ensure that everything we do as a PPCB gives the customer confidence overseas that they will consider South Africa first as a source of supply before anyone else. Our mission is to make sure that our people are empowered, our people, that's our employees, are empowered to fulfill their mandate to give integrity to the products. And we've got three simple but I would say fairly profound objectives. The first one is easier than it looks. The one in red, objective number one, enhancing the credibility of the South African export certificate. When we inspect a consignment of goods to leave the country, we need to know that the paperwork we have signed represents the sample 100%, represents that consignment. So what's on the paperwork is in fact what's in that consignment. Now we've had our challenges in the last year and we'll be the first to admit that. The reason behind the challenge is twofold. Firstly, over the last 10 years, exports have escalated tremendously, even though they've flattened in the last few years. And secondly, we need to be able to cope with that volume in an electronic fashion rather than a manual fashion. At the PPCB, we're still doing everything manually, and we have to convert to an electronic platform sooner rather than later. The second objective is basically supporting the competitiveness of our South African perishable products industries. And the way I explain this is to say quite simply, if we can provide a more cost-effective service for our customers and make it cheaper for our customers, then our customers in turn can reduce the price of their products in the market and be more competitive. Unfortunately, the way of the world today is that products are bought on price before just about anything else. So we have to keep our services sharp and cost-effective. And the third objective is ensuring that we strengthen our capacity with our people to provide a professional suite of services. Just a quick example of that is we've put a piece of new equipment in our laboratory in order to measure the maximum residue levels on fruits in particular. We found it quite amazing that South Africans are sending their product overseas to be evaluated in laboratories, and they're getting the results faster and paying less money than us being able to do it in this country, despite the exchange rate. So we've put in that equipment now. It's installed. We've got technicians teaching our people in our Centurion laboratory, and we hope to provide that service very shortly to South African customers at a faster turnaround time and a cheaper option than what they get currently from overseas. And lastly, our organization has been underpinned by six values. I want to just address one, which we focused on in 2012 and will be focusing on 2013, collaboration. We're trying to, as is outlined very clearly in the National Development Plan, move away from the classic silo mentality of public sector organizations. We're learning to work more closely with our customers. A good example, we were up in Port Elizabeth 2 weeks ago. We had our pre-season citrus meeting. And instead of us being on the stage only, we invited private sector organizations. And we invited consultants to share the platform with us. And somebody who's been in the industry a very long time came over to me in the tea room and said, Stuart, the value of this used to be in the tea room, but I'm happy to say that we're finding better value in the lecture room now, where it should have been in the first place. So that's a very good sign when that comes from your customers, that our efforts to collaborate and provide an efficient service is working. However, we acknowledge we still have some way to go. We have created, hopefully, a much better platform with which to operate in the PPCB in 2013-14. This was our structure up until the end of March. It was very narrow at the top, and it had over 300 people reporting to one individual in statutory operations, which we felt was unreasonable on that individual, considering we operate across the entire country with many, many, many products throughout the entire year. So we've changed it to look like that. We've broken up statutory operations, which is the heartbeat of our business, into north, south, and coastal regions. We've moved IT out of finance because IT has probably the most significant role to play this year in using or adapting to mobile technology. We want all our inspectors to go onto tablets so that the information goes straight through to the server without delay and as accurately as possible. We have made the laboratory a standalone business. We believe there's growth opportunities there and they need more focus. HR continues to play its role, a very important role in developing our people. We've had some very, very interesting initiatives which we'll carry on with this year. And the new division, Corporate Affairs, is involved with all those aspects that cut across the organization. And Lucian Janssen in our midst here was asked to run that portfolio for us. It's an important one and we wish him well this year. He has a great responsibility in making sure that people talk across the fences and that a lot of integration and collaboration occurs within our organization. Just as a reminder for the portfolio committee, less than 10 years ago, we used to inspect only in the ports in South Africa. But with the arrival of containerization in our country, 90% of our product has been packed in containers now. So those containers are being stuffed at packing points inland. So all our inspectors have had to move inland to certify the product at 1,500 pack points or activity points. This means that our inspectors are traveling, were scheduled to travel 5 million kilometers this year. We have taken steps to ensure that's now going to be under 4 million kilometers, and at 3 rand a kilometer, that's a saving of 3 million. That we subsidize or sponsor our employees. The other cost, of course, is your subsistence and travel. And we've had to appoint many more inspectors to cover this turf because we no longer inspect just in ports. So the nature of our business has changed dramatically. Just some statistics for you. It's interesting that we have nearly 200 products we look after with 350 people full-time, though we do have up to 200 contract workers at any one time. And the interesting feature is we expected over 5 million kilometers to be traveled this year. We've got it down to 3.9 million kilometers because inspectors are working smarter in the routes that they travel. With tablet technology, interestingly, you can have GPSs installed where you can map where your inspectors are and what routes they're traveling and get programs to make their routes more efficient. In the strategy, we've outlined 8 programs as areas of emphasis in our organization. Statutory operations last year, you might recall, was just one of those programs. Well, we've made it now 3. Statutory operations north, south, and coastal. And the reason we've done this is because most of our expenditure, most of our income, most of our people are employed in these three divisions. Yet, what we've lost in the past as the PPCB is the detail of each region, which is quite different from one another. And the performance manage agreements that we're writing, or just completed writing for our statutory operations managers, is based on their strategies, sub-strategies for their specific regions, because they do differ substantially from one another. For example, coastal deals significantly with the cold chain at all the ports, whereas the north region deals a lot with smaller products that they have to deal with and less of a cold chain, just as an example. So our challenge for the statutory operations three programs is to make sure that we comply with the two acts. The struggle of our compliance is with our APS Act. We're working on that. We're not fully compliant with the law at the moment. The executive officer of DAF has pointed that out to us. We're putting systems in place to try and manage that. But while we're on a manual system, that remains a challenge. When we go to the electronic system, we believe it will solve a lot of our problems. The fourth program is harmonization. It's around the whole country, and in essence, we've got 241 inspectors that need to be competent, inspect to a uniform standard across all products across the country, and have to do this day in and day out, month in and month out, year in, year out. That sounds easy, but we find that if a grower takes his product to one inspector and it's not passed, he's been able in the past to take it to another inspector and have the same consignment passed, which demonstrates an inconsistency on our part. So a whole program worth 11 million rand has been dedicated to ensure uniformity across the organization. The fifth program, where we're throwing emphasis, is our laboratory. Dr. Nyker, with us here today, for the first time, is running this ship for us. We believe that this ship can be a center of excellence in this country. We're beefing up the laboratory to deal more with statutory work rather than commercial work. We don't believe it's our place. National Treasury and the last former DG of Agriculture told us, confirmed for us, should I say, that we need to stick to our statutory mandate. It's not our place to compete with the private sector organizations. So we'll focus on that. We've actually made finance a program this year. We've put the chessboard there because Johan Schwibus and his team have a very, very difficult ship to steer this year. The PPCB business model is under a lot of pressure. We rely on our customers for all our income, and he's tasked with keeping our boat steadily on course while we navigate through some very tough waters this year. The chairman opened the session by telling you that there's a potential 45 to 50 million rand hole coming in the PPCB's budget this year if the EU market is closed to South African citrus. There are five interceptions that we've got. I believe we had one this week on lemons in Rotterdam, which means there's four left. And on the fourth one, they're going to close the market. Well, in theory, they're going to close the market. But we're working hard at that at a DAF level and a PPCB level to try and avoid that from happening. It's a complicated issue. The curveball, as I said, is citrus black spot. I think for Parliament's sake, just to understand that when the product goes into the box, sometimes, many times, producers unknowingly put citrus black spot into the box because you can't see it. Sometimes they put it in knowingly, hoping they'll get away with it, but hopefully that's very few people. Then the PPCB inspects that product, but only looks at a 2% sample. And sometimes that's not visible, and sometimes you might miss it because the percentage sample could be too small. But you could do a 10% sample size inspection, and it's still not visible, and it only manifests over time through the chain. DAF also acts as an extra pair of eyes over our shoulders, because they charge a phytosanitary issues. And then sometimes when it gets overseas, you find the inspectors in the import countries mistake citrus black spot for something else. So now they're sending it away for testing to ensure it's citrus black spot and not something else that they're mistaking it for. Of course, the bottom line with citrus black spot is that the science that says that this disease, this fungus, cannot infest European orchards is not believed by the European scientists. Despite the American science, the South African science, the Australian and New Zealand science, which all says in a Mediterranean climate you cannot infest orchards in Europe, the European scientists are not sure. So that's where the breakdown in agreement is at the moment, and we're having to put in measures to try and limit black spot sandings. Mobile technology, I've talked as program 7. It's moving away from the clipboard and pen to tablet technology, which we've started with and hope to implement later this year. It will come as much needed relief. And lastly, and very importantly, our development program. That's underpinned by 4 initiatives, our smallholder farmers we work with, the internships we've got at the PPCB, the pool of unemployed graduates we prepare for uptake, and the AETP students that we also use as inspectors ready and trained when the gaps come. Chairman, on that note, I'll hand over to our financial manager, Johan Schubus.
Our budget for the year income, it's 207.6 million, and our expenditure is 213 million, which gives us a shortfall of 5.6 million rand. The 5.6 million rand is specific expenditure to fund efficiency improvement projects like the IT, the rollout of the tablet technology. If you look at the changes, income, it's 8% up year on year. As Stuart, Mr. Symington indicated, volumes are very flat. So the increases in income comes from the our increases in levy. Expenditures up by 10%, which is a 20.1 million rand increase on our last year's estimate expenditure. In terms of the additional allocation of funds, 15.3 million goes to operations, which is 13.6 to statutory operations and 1.7 to laboratory, and 1.1 million goes to corporate services, all the support services. In terms of percentages, 10% increase in expenses on operations and 23% increase in the laboratory. Divisional expenses, the majority of our expenses, as Mr. Symington indicated, lies with our operational departments, 70.7%, 4.3% with laboratory, 1.2% with research and development, we've got 2% allocated to skills development, and 21.8% to corporate services. Our major expenditure, by far the employee costs, which represents 61% of our total cost. And activity costs, kilometers, subsistence allowance paid to staff going on relief duty, accommodation represents 18% of the total cost. In total, that represents almost 80% of our PPCB's total cost. Other costs, computer cost, 4%, which is probably going to increase in future because of the rollout of our tablet technology and focus on IT infrastructural development. The major expenditure, once again, employment cost, 131.1 million rand. other 37.1 million rand on activity costs, and then computer cost 7.9 million rand. Office accommodation to accommodate all our people in the right across South Africa, it's also 7.1 million rand. The sources of our funding, the majority of our income comes from the statutory fees from the APS Act, Agricultural Product Standards Act. It's 136 million rand of the 207.5 million rand. From the PPEC Act, 52 million rand.
skills development, that is grants that we budgeted, included in our budgets, 1.7 million. Other income, 892, and then interest on our cash reserves, 5 million rand. On the operational level, with the 8.9% average increase in fees, we do break even. We do budget for break even. It's just the projects that pushes us into a shortfall, but which will be funded from our accumulated reserves. And hopefully these projects over the longer term will give us that efficiency gains, which will translate into cost savings. If you look over a 13-year period, increases in our levies, the average increases. Citrus, for example, merely examples given, 4.9%. PPCB grapes, 6.7%. Export conventional, 5.88. Inland is 5.48. If you compare it against the longer-term inflation rate or PPI index, we compare very well with those indexes. In terms of our capital expenditure program, we've budgeted for 5.23 million rand to be invested into capital projects. The majority of that is in computer equipment, once again because of our technology, our focus in enhancing our technological capabilities. Technical equipment, it is mostly also in the laboratory. Chair, that concludes the presentation on the financial budget. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may conclude on some good news, because we have some challenges as we've outlined. You might recall last year the PPCB ran at a 16 million rand loss. We've just finished our financial year and on all indications are that we've broken even. So we've managed to bring that 16 million loss down to essentially zero. While we are running, projected to run at a 5 million rand loss for this financial year coming, if we can get the efficiency gains we want without compromising our service delivery, then I believe it is possible for us to again break even. But we will come with that news hopefully in 6 months' time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Foster and your team. Members, that is a submission from PPECB. What is the slogan there? Your passport to international trade. I always say, Mr. Banga, whenever you know people say so much about you know agriculture in our country and many other things that are within the portfolio, things are going so bad and nothing is happening and so on and so forth. I always pride myself in saying, a number of businesses out there, they are making lots and lots of money through their exports. And I would quote PPECB is one of those entities that make sure that these products go out of the country safe and people make money with their exports. Safe for the black spot that we're dealing with, which I don't think it is insurmountable. It is a matter of time that we get it right. Okay, members, I see a hand from Mr. Van Dalen, Mrs. Steyn, for now. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, in the line with the trend of renewal and upping our game as government, you know, they say we shouldn't work harder, we should work smarter, and I think PPECB has taken that challenge, and they have gone the IT route. I mean, everybody's going that route. You can't do without it, and inspecting all the goods and having the right equipment to do it. I mean, this entity is very crucial in the value chain and making sure that South Africa's goods are safe for export. I mean, I won't talk about the imports at the moment. I will only focus on the exports. And you know, I always say that we worry more about the safety of European countries than we worry about our own safety or the safety of our people in this country. But here you have an entity which I believe, and I have no other reason to believe that, is that it's working fine, and it has some challenges. Can we not help them with their challenges and maybe you know, give them some funding and make a recommendation to that sort, so that, you know, an investment we make now would be very well, it would pay us back in the future. And it, you know, you can't put any money on a good name, which is very important. So I would, you know, this entity doesn't have a very huge budget like all the others, and they are self-funding. They are not reliant on funding from government, and they have done cost-cutting measures to stay within their budget. So I think as government we should reward them for that, and then maybe see if we could not help them with extra funding. Thank you.
Mr. Steen.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I will not speak about funding at the moment, but I will just ask a few questions firstly. Chair, you mentioned the black spot just now. I just wanted to find out from PPECBA, what do we do to prevent it? People say you can't see it, but what measures do we put in place to prevent this from happening? And I've read somewhere that it's not, you know, if it's going to happen, it's when we're going to stop the export of this oranges to the European Union. Firstly, what do we do to prevent the black spot? And secondly, do we have any plans in place? If this is going to be stopped, what are we going to do? We can't just sit with this oranges and not have a market. So do we have some kind of plan B in place? Then, Chair, just on that, what other causes is there for a shipment to be stopped? And has it happened in the past, and do we bring that down, not just speaking about the black spot, but other causes? Then, Chair, maybe linked to that or maybe not, I'm not sure, but why is our export volumes not growing? We've just seen the international trend, it went down, maybe of the economic crisis. Is there any other reasons for that? Is it happening? I would have liked to see what is the comparison with other countries, especially BRICS. You know, we've seen in other export markets that other products grow even in the poor economic time, but South Africa's exports is not growing. So is there a problem specifically, or is it the international trend? Then, one of the slides had something that says enhancing the credibility of SA's export certificate. I just have a question mark around that. If we can get some explanation, is it just the fact that we don't really test the 2% that we're supposed to test, or is there other issues that we need to deal with linked to maybe consignments that were sent back or stopped, and things that we are not dealing with? Then, Chairperson, on page 8 of the document, I just read that it says the producers are unhappy that the PPECB is still not providing a risk-based assessment inspection. Is that part of what the PPECB is supposed to do, or is it another mandate from the producers? And then just on clarity, maybe it's a question for the department, I'm not sure, but how far are we with the process of the PPECB Act? I saw that it was worked on last year, so I think, you know, even if it comes to Parliament now, it will be too late to deal with it this year, so it will have to stay over for next year then, Chair. But from the department side, how far are we with that? And then, Chair, I would have liked to see income broken down per product. I would like to see which is your biggest customers and how many, and then just link to that, I saw on slide 3 the number of listed product groups went down. What is the reason for that? Is it because of exports that's not happening in that product any longer, or why did the listed products go down? And then also on page 30 in the document, speaks about the MRL analysis and dairy testing for the export market. It's currently non-accredited. I just want to have more information about that. What is the MRL testing in the first place? I hate it when people just write these things that we don't understand. I would really like to know what is in NIVAR-L testing and why is this currently not accredited. That's all for now. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Banga, noted to Mr. Abram and Mrs. Polisson.
Chair, maybe I must echo what you are saying. I think this is one of the success stories out of the other nightmares we have. Because I must say they are nightmares. But if they are success stories, it's a success story, it's good. It's good for the country because this is the face of what we are as South Africa. Even if I don't understand the concept deeply, but I think it represents what we are. And it's supposed to be a success story. It's no excuse. If we talk about our exports, it talks about our conduct out there. Therefore, I think it's a good success story in which all of us, we should celebrate. And I think that this should be a model in which our domestic conduct should learn from. Because our South African role is much as more important as our conduct as we do in terms of our export and so on. That should always be emphasized. Our citizens are more important as what we do, our conduct. Therefore, I think I appreciate that, that we have good stories to tell in South Africa. But I wanted to check, within that context, how much is our domestic conduct affecting our output in terms of what we do international, in terms of our export product? How much is our conduct affected? I'm not only saying this within the context of what your scope is, but looking broadly in what has been happening in the country, if in your sector it's happening, how much that is affecting your success in the work that you are doing outside there. You made mention of the inconsistency in terms of maybe your inspectors giving the results sometimes and so on. But I want to check, is it because of capacity problems or is it because of misconduct? Or just explain to me, what is it that we're talking about? Is it just because of capacity? I'm linking this within your investment in skills development. Seemingly, you have less concentration in terms of skills development, or you only budget for your skills development from the money that you receive for skills development, or you have a specific focus to say you want to build in an in-house capacity of your employees, and what impact does it have to the broader objective? We cannot only, if we talk technology, talk only about iPads. What is it that we are talking about? This technology investment, is it only iPads? Just iPads? What do we talk? Just explain to me these new innovations that we're talking about that are going to enhance our capacity to do the work that we are supposed to do. But I think it is, Mr. Duncan, it's a good story. At least this year, this is a positive thing that I've heard. Thank you very much.
Mr. Abram?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As usual, it's always a privilege, and I would add an honor to listen to the PPECB. And I get the impression that they seem to go out of their way to headhunt the best that's available. And I want to congratulate the whole team here and express the hope, and I know that it will probably not happen, that you would ever disappoint us. You are a flagship, something that we need to nurture. Our Chairperson, I'm known to be very critical. But of course, you know, when criticism is deserved, then you've got to dish it out. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't listen. But I see my role as that of a catalyst. And you find two types of catalysts in this world. You find those that get poisoned and they stop working, and you find those that carry on regardless. I hope to be in the second category. Now, Chairperson, whilst we have a very good picture of how PPECB goes about carrying out its work and its duties, one must also remember that what they do is also largely dependent on a sort of a support structure. They can only do what they are doing if we are going to have farmers that are going to carry on farming and that are going to carry on producing. Otherwise, if those volumes drop, you've got a problem. Like I just heard on the radio this morning that many, well, for example, it should become an export product, but it isn't. We are importing more chicken all the time, and that it has already led to some of the bigger operators in the country closing down and some of them shedding, I'm told that 3,000 jobs have already been shed. We have the NDP, which our government accepts as its GPS for the next so many years, which sees agriculture as having the potential to create more jobs. I'm saying these things, Chairperson, because you don't go and repair something that is working properly. What you do is you help to see that the nuts and bolts are all in shape and those that are missing are replaced, and that it is well oiled and that it works properly. And I want to agree with what my colleagues have said here, that if there are challenges in terms of budgets, and surely they are, we need to see that that machine is well oiled and that those challenges are met. I mean, I can't see, day in and day out. The other day again, millions of rands of equipment lying idle from October, millions of rands prone to be destroyed if some crick goes along and puts a matchstick into that felt. And here we have an organization doing what it should be doing, carrying out its mandate, and we cannot assist them financially. We need to get our priorities right, in other words, Chair. Saying this especially for the sake of the officials from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Put your money where work is being done, not where it's being wasted. Chairperson, what I would like to find out is that I've got no real questions with regard to your financials. I've said that we need to see that you get more assistance. The black spot on oranges, or citrus, shall I say. Is there any research being conducted at the moment that you are aware of? I have taken note that the previous DG had called upon you not to compete with private sector organizations. But you are a business. You are a business. You have a job to do. Your mandate is to see that you control the fruit exports, or perishable exports. Sorry, not only fruit. And you are a business. Of course, you have to compete with private sector in order to provide the best. Otherwise, the job that you are doing today will be taken over by the private sector. They can also start a business exporting fruit or whatever, perishable products. They can do it on their own if they so desire. I don't know what the legislative framework is, but if we believe in a system of free enterprise, Anybody can come and compete against you. So why shouldn't you have the right to compete against the private sector? It is a healthy competition. And I would like to make that point, Chair. It needs to be taken up very seriously. If we are not in business, Chair, you've got to have competition. And if you don't compete against others, you're in trouble. Your shareholders, in this case, the state, will ask you, why aren't you turning out profits? That's a principle, Chair, that we need to address very, very seriously. The other issue that I would like to deal with, Chairperson, is that are our producers, on whom we are dependent to get the product to export, are they investing sufficiently? Do they see a future in the particular sector? And are they putting in investments? Are they prepared to take the necessary risks? Because if that does not happen, Chair, then of course there are danger signals ahead. So I would like to know that. Whether you have seen, you have 1,500 points, according to Mr. Symington, that you service, that you, well, when I say service, where you do inspections and whatever else. I mean, while you are doing inspections, it's not only limited to inspections and get the hell out of the place, the GTHO step. You also listen to the problems of your support structures, and that's the farming community. And you need to listen to them, and you need to also put on the table when you come here in future. This will unfortunately be your last appearance before the current, the fourth parliament. There will be a new one by this time next year. Yeah, but I mean, this kind of budget discussion takes place now. It won't happen again until next year. So it is necessary that we also use you as conduits to put on the table what many of the individual farmers are unable to come and put here. We see you as an organization that should keep us updated on what is happening in the sector on the ground, which is extremely important. If there needs to be some or other form of intervention, then it has to come. But you can't intervene if you don't know what the real problems are. And I must be very honest that from the quarters where I expect problems to be put on the table, I don't get them most of the time, and that's why I'm asking you folks to try and get that for us. Chairperson, the important issue here is that you are starting some or other way of checking out. Well, you said earlier that you get results with regard to certain types of research and whatever. You understand what I'm trying to say. You know, I'm getting dusty now by sending it overseas, and you get it at a far cheaper rate in spite of the exchange rate with the dollar rising and all that sort of stuff. The capacity that you are now trying to build, is it worth the investment that you are going to make? Or is it going to be cheaper to rather import that capacity the way you are doing it at the moment? I'm looking at cost effectiveness. It is good to have your internal capacity, but then you must be able to afford it. Finally, Chairperson, you mentioned, and to me it boils down to the fact that there must be integrity in whatever you produce, in paperwork, in the kind of delivery that you provide, the service that you provide, there has to be integrity. Now, in the last financial year, have you had reason to lay off anybody within PPECB because of the lack of integrity? Now, when I say lack of integrity, I mean somebody that did not do his or her job properly, that there was an element of dishonesty, an element of not carrying out instructions? Did you have reason to do that? As I have known the management at PPECB to be very focused, very cautious about what it does, and always placing integrity at the center of whatever it has done. And I hope that you continue doing so. Thank you very much.
Mrs. Palliser?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. The mandatory percentage for sample sizes inspected is 2%, as prescribed by the Agri-Product Standards Act. The PPECB plans to achieve the 2% inspection under the statutory operation South and Coastal, but maintain a 1.8 inspection. Under the statutory operations North, can you provide clarity for this? In addition, the PPECB also plans to decrease the proportion of captured inspection information for fruit products in the North region while planning to increase in the Coastal and South region. Explain and unpack this for us. What progress has been made by the PPECB and the department regarding amendments of the PPEC Act and the APS Act? Are these two pieces of legislation going to see the light of the day September or October this year, 2013? On page 8, Program 8, Development. Skills development, which is a very, I can say, a sensitive issue in terms of transformation. Is there any explanation or unpack to us which CETA in agriculture is supporting the skills development for PPECB? Is there a CETA that supports it? Do you tap into it? Are there any external funding that you are using for skills development? Because in honest report and ARC, we are always told that infrastructure is aging, people are also aging, and the skills is vanishing. Are we going to see the very same happening in PPECB? Are we going to skill the graduates? Is there space for them? Thank you, Chair.
Mrs. Nyalumo.
Thank you, Chair. I also like to appreciate the good job that PPECB is doing. My only one question is on page 5. On your vital statistics, I see everything here is decreasing instead of increasing. So, for example, on the permanent employees, in 2011-2012, you've got 358, and then in 2013-2013, you've got 352. It decreases. Could you please explain why is this the case? Thank you.
Thank you for those questions, members. Of course, that was it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just to check, Chairperson. During the presentation, it has been mentioned that the organization is spending a lot of mileage and time traveling around the country to do what it's tasked to do. I just want to check, Chairperson. Have they ever maybe made a research on maybe putting satellite offices in this part of the country where PPECB is doing business? rather than traveling around, as has been mentioned, with a lot of kilometers that is spent on the road. One taking into consideration the fact that these days we have the high-tech technology of reporting. Would it not be an easy way of maybe saving for the company traveling, as well as lives, since we are having a lot of road fatalities these days in our country? Thank you.
Is your last bite, Mama, on this?
Yes, Chair, I have forgotten one thing. Which part of the country is the internships from, the graduates? Which part of the country? Because there is no big breakdown of that.
You invited me, among others, to come and join you in your review. And then I declined the invitation. I declined it because I would have anticipated a situation where we are in this period now when we shall have to review, and that I would also have to participate from the side of the fence, if there is any fence. To an extent, even if it were to come to a point where there is now going to be a report, you would wish to abdicate yourself and be able to say, rather you are more on the oversight side of things than having been part of any planning than expected. Yeah, but you were there. You accepted, you agreed, and so on and so forth. But very interesting on my part is the vision and the mission. If you were to unpack that for us, different from the past, so that we are able to say to ourselves, in the next 10 years, 20 years' time, this is where we shall see ourselves at as PPECB. That will take account of a number of things. Among others, real growth. Among others, PPECB being able to be on its own without any disbursements or transfers. Among others, and equally very important, transformation. To an extent, you have to be able to say to yourself, we are in the right direction. We are moving forward with the country. Granted, you are guided by the NDP, National Development Plan, which seeks to drive our country to a particular position by 2030. That would be one part. Perhaps interesting on my side as well would be your past 3 years of stagnation, if you like, in export. And what plans do we have on this? In other words, to improve this for the better. It could, if you like, fit in very well, pretty much with the area I was covering earlier on. And the last question, perhaps on my side, and that could probably talk to the great table great man out there, but of course you are accountable as accounting officers. The effect of the Durrans strike on your export. There have been a few indicators here and there whether or not you were able to consolidate those into a point where you are now accounting for any size of impact, negatively or positively. For now, thanks.
Thank you, Chairman. I get that's about 26 questions. I hope we've managed to map them. First of all, thank you for your compliments that you've paid us. We take them and we humbly accept them. However, we want to reiterate, PPECB still has challenges. and we're not walking on emeralds and diamonds at all. We've got lots of challenges which we're faced with, and we're just putting our heads down and going for them. I think what's come out importantly are two things. Why have our exports stagnated? That's not a PPCB issue, in a sense, but we've got some feeling for why that's happening. And I think the second major issue is the skills development and the management of the CETA issue and the slight decline in number of people and the transformation and the empowerment of our people, the internships that were mentioned. So firstly, from my side, in my travels around the country, from a stagnation of export volumes, there's no doubt the issue about the crisis has affected everybody worldwide. There's a dampened demand, there's no doubt in that. And that will, of course, stop people from sending overseas. You might recall just a couple of years back, the rand was pretty strong. Now it's weak, now it becomes more attractive to export. So that's also in the mix. But in closer inspection around the country, and I'll draw on some of our statutory operations teams who are aware of it, I know, for example, in Limpopo, they've been pulling out a lot of citrus to build dams. Down in Mpumalanga, a lot of prime agricultural land's gone over to coal mining. Some of it's gone into investment in shopping centres. And down in KZN, they've pulled out citrus. They're putting in sugar cane because it's an easier crop. In a lot of our land reform programs, while the new owners are busy getting experienced in upskilling, there tends to be a decline in volume there. But I think if I can ask our board representatives, Mr. Foster and Mr. Hammond, just to indicate as growers why they feel the export volume is stagnating, anything I haven't mentioned. And perhaps Mr. Hammond can chip in on the Duduans issue and how that minimum wage is potentially going to sacrifice, I hear, 30,000 jobs in agriculture this year. And then ask the statutory operations team to give their insight as to why our volumes are dwindling. Over to Mr. Forster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I would like to make a start off with a positive comment about lack of exports, and I heard comments from, for instance, people in the apple industry, where they're selling more and more in South Africa and Southern Africa. So there's I bring a bit of a positive spin because, and I agree with Mr. Symington, that exports and specifically the European market and the pressure because of very difficult economic environment in that kind of countries. But there's also positives. I mean, the industry where I'm in, we saw some growth in the South African market of between 20 and 30% a year, which is fantastic to experience. If we look at investment in South Africa, yes, there's in some areas some negative sentiment, and I think we must realize that. The Durance thing, I don't think, created some comfort in certain industries in terms of the future, and I hope and believe that we will overcome that and go forward and once again focus on the positives. So in general, I mean, Stuart, and I don't want to repeat what you repeated, yes, some of the industries, land reform played a more important role. But there's also industries, and I want to make use of a very small industry. Mangoes, for instance, just became internationally uncompetitive. And that's why, and it's economic forces which will determine that kind of thing, started to sort of disappear from an export point of view. So there's that sort of challenges. Yes, and there's some initiatives, for instance, to get access to the Chinese market for mangoes, because that can change that business around. And I think DAF and the other role players can make a huge contribution. If I'm talking Limpopo province and I talk mangoes, there's opportunities that we must get access to new markets. So positive and negative, let's focus on the positive, and let's hope we can build on that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you.
I'm
Neil Oman, and I'm a farmer in the Worcester area close to the Durans. And one of the major challenges that we have in our area, let
tackle only the labour issues is resources at the moment, clean availability of clean water resource. That's one of the main restricts in our area for exports at the moment. And that said one thing. The other thing is that the table grape industry in the Western Cape is in a bit of a consolidation phase where we are looking at new varieties and taking out older varieties and putting in newer stuff for the future. And that also has got a dampening side, as we can call it like that, on the industry at the moment, where it seems like the industry is not growing, but there are a lot of investment in new varieties and new cultivars being planted at the moment. So maybe in that sense, the figures are a bit misleading at the moment, that there seems that there's not investment taking part. There's a lot of investment, but not a lot of growth in volumes at this moment. If we talk about the Doorn's labour issue, if we can call it that, yes, we did have it set us back a few years in terms of we've got to relook our business. As I said, we're in a consolidation phase. We've got to relook at what the future will hold for us in that area, and it's got a huge impact on society as well. And the whole society there is looking at ways to take it forward positively. And I think that's the good coming from it, is that the whole community of the Doorns of Worcester is coming together now and looking at the way forward and how we are going to address those issues. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Hammond. Can I ask Cyril Saronson for you, just if any one additional comments on why export volumes have stagnated in your...
Thank you, Chair. I can comment from a citrus perspective. Actually, good news. There's a 4% increase estimated for this coming season. So that's on the good side. Saro can comment on the citrus.
Saro, for Mike. I've got a frog in my throat. Sorry for that. The volumes, there's pockets of excellence in volumes growth, but on a national basis, the volumes flatten. For instance, stone fruit at a 30% growth year on year for the next 4 years, but it's from the lower volumes of 10 million to 15 to 20 million, while citrus is 100 million cartons. So although it is a big growth in certain pockets, the national footprint is, it is lower. On our slide that Mr. Stewart had on page 4, you will see that we have a national footprint of products all around the country. For instance, we've lost 3 million cartons in the lower Aris River due to rain. But in other regions, we make our volumes. So that is one of the reasons why the volumes are flattened. It is weather conditions in different parts of the country. Another one is, for instance, palm fruit. More than 1,000 hectares was taken out over the past couple of years and replanted with wine because it's a better climate for wine. And that is also one of the reasons why the volumes are flattening down. The people are looking for alternatives to the traditional export cultivars. That is, in short, my contribution.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Sinovia Matai from the North. Just to add on what my colleagues have said, one of the issues, especially if you look at the smaller products like your mangoes and your lychees, sometimes the local markets will determine whether farmers want to export or not. For example, in lychee, farmers have been getting very good prices locally. So they would think then if I sell my stuff locally, it's better for me rather than to export. Also, to echo what Mr. Simington has said, we've seen up north, especially in around the Nelspruit, Malelane, Woodspruit region, where you have orchards, mango orchards that will be uprooted to make way for sugarcane or to focus on another product. For example, you'll swap mangoes with citrus. Also, you have a lot of housing estates that are coming up, and unfortunately they are being established on agricultural land. That is one thing that is causing. The last thing is the swap of products. There's, if I can make an example, there's a huge focus now to look at pecan nuts. If you plant pecan nuts now, they will take about between 10 to 12 years before you can actually see your exports. Now, for the next 10 to 12 years, you will see less volumes of groundnuts being exported because groundnuts are being pulled out and pecan nuts are being put in. And you will only realize the volumes of pecan nuts after 12 years. So that is one of the issues that is causing the volumes to be stagnant.
Thank you, Chairman. I think we can be proud of two things. One is that South Africa is now the second biggest exporter of citrus in the world, after Spain. That's a big achievement. Now, to keep growing that after 100 million cartons is a big ask, because there's so many factors at play. The second thing I think we're going to be very proud of is our grower and exporter fraternity have moved a massive percentage of their product to the eastern markets. If we had continued to be Eurocentric, we would have had 80% of our citrus in trouble right now, because 80% of our citrus went to that EU market 10 years ago. So the fact that only 45%, I think it is that right, Cyril, 45% goes into the EU market now, and it's lowering. And who are the big winners of South African citrus? Russia, India, China, Southeast Asia, Far East. It's all the BRIC countries and the Eastern markets. So we as a PPCB, I know, are grateful that they've diversified their market base. Otherwise, we would be staring at a potentially bigger hole in our budget. Just to go on to the skills development, the use of the AgriCETA, the numbers in our business, Zaki Makaya, could you comment on those questions, please? No one better positioned to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We collaborate with the AgriCETA in terms of the graduates that we recruit. We also collaborate with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. We recruit every year 25 students. We put them through the ATP program. We also source funding for interns from the AgriCETA. We managed to bring in 4 interns this year, and we're looking forward to another collaborating exercise going forward. So that's what we're doing at the moment. In terms of the budget of skills development, in terms of technical skills, 10 million rand is actually allocated to harmonization, who focus primarily on ensuring that there is consistent application of standards throughout the organization, over and above the soft skills training that you provide from HR. Thank you, Chair.
Perhaps one thing I'd like to add, which half answers another question asked, was one of our challenges at PPCB is that we collect our money from all our customers, and they were anxious that we use that money for the purpose intended, in other words, to inspect products and equipment in the cold chain. So they were a bit anxious that whilst they were spending a lot of their statutory levy money on development issues in their industries, they didn't want us to necessarily use the money destined for inspections on development issues. But we came to a deal, and we proposed to our board recently that we ring-fence 1% of our turnover, and that would be 2 million rand in our case. And the deal was that if we raised rand for rand, the equivalent or more of 2 million rand, we could spend it on development issues. And Sinovuyo Matai and others helped raise 3 million rand recently. I think the ARC has come to the party with us. So suddenly, in raising more than rand for rand, we've now got 5 million to work for development issues. So it was a compromise situation, which I dare say will be in favor of the beneficiaries and in favor of the PPCB doing good work on that front. Just in terms of the Act, there were a couple of questions on the amendments to the Act and progress on it to date, what has been done and the impact it will have on the organization. Gabby Guest, can I ask you to comment on that, please, Gabby? Gabby's been the strength with Jill behind this for our team in the last year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The collaboration between the PPCB and DAF has been very good. The proposed bill has been signed off by PPCB and by DAF on an operational level. It's also been attended to by the external consultant, who's Professor Olafir, and I believe it's part of 9 bills which is proposed to be put forward. They indicated hopefully this year, but realistically they say it can be the first quarter of next year. But it is part of 9 which have been put forward to be the next bills. The main changes which have been made to the bill, if I hear the questions that have been put forward, are it firstly does address the funding issue within PPCB, because currently the way the Act is framed, it provides for funding to come from the users. There isn't really provision for treasury funding of the PPCB. The PPCB has indirectly received treasury funding, as you can see from the budget, in a small amount, but this was directed via DAF. And in the new proposed changes that are made, this is addressed, particularly in relation to the information technology, because the previous bill, as we've been told, is about 30 years old, and currently you have the private sector, which is very technologically advanced, and the PPCB still using pen and ink and paper. So largely the new Act defines data, defines information, creates a better link between the PPCB and the private sector. Also, the old Act was developed in a framework where you had a single channel, so you had one exporter of a product. And the board arranged the shipping for that single exporter and managed the cold chain and the inspections. With the changed environment now, information is critical for a producer, packer, exporter, and to be linked globally. So, for example, a South American producer knows what has been shipped on a particular vessel and can make marketing decisions. So I think what hasn't come through so far is that the information system that is envisaged in the new Act addresses the inspection aspect, it addresses the cold chain, and it also, and the interaction with the private sector, and it also addresses a big problem in the South African industry, namely access to information. So if there's a new producer or exporter who isn't linked in some other way, they will not know what to ship. So the Act had to address these changes and also connect it with the new legislative framework post-constitution. So those aspects were addressed. And I think another aspect that was raised by the chairperson is the constitution of the board. The constitution of the board is comprising this in tradition now, the CEO, the CFO, the customers, experts, and our SANOR DAF. I do believe that the industries are being consulted, DAF is satisfied. I do believe our bill is on the way. I don't expect any other problems. Stuart?
Yes, done. Thank you very much. Chairman, just regarding the question of research, we debated this extensively at our two stakeholder meetings we had last year. To what degree should PPCB get involved in research? The conclusion was that our customers have access to their own research divisions, their own research companies they've set up. There are private sector companies operating in that space as well, and that it would be more prudent of the PPCB to invest in its core mandate on matters of inspection particularly, rather than diversifying into other areas, which would probably just be replicating what's out there already. So that was the request of customers. We've changed the focus in our organization. We no longer call it research and development. We call it research and innovation, where all employees are contracted to submit ideas that they have in the organization, how we can do things better. So we've provided an innovation desk and looking at day-to-day activities which can make a difference rather than investing in research which takes years to make a difference. So that's been our priority. While on that topic, perhaps I can call on Dr. Nyker just to answer the question on the accreditation situation in our laboratory.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The lab has been tasked to set up the MRL testing. The MRL testing is maximum residue levels, which is essentially pesticides that that are on fresh produce. We have just embarked on the project. We started in March, which means starting from recruiting the analysts to procuring the equipment to developing the methodology and obviously accrediting the service. We accredit the service to the international standard ISO 17025 through SANAS, but that's not an overnight process. It can take from 6 months to 2 years, depending on the methods you want to accredit. We are now in the process of developing and optimizing the methods, complying with EU requirements. So we anticipate starting the service in August and to accredit it mid-2014.
Thank you. Regarding the question of value adding at our PAC points or activity points around the country, we were in fact allowing our inspectors to help producers with producing product at higher standards than the minimum South African standard to which we inspect. This is because the supermarket standards are at a higher level and producers have to pack to those higher levels. Now, if we're to engage with producers on these higher levels, that keeps that inspector there for much longer time, and he isn't actually supposed to be doing that work. But where he can, in the past, he's been able to, or she's been able to provide that value-added service. But we don't have the luxury of time with moving into all these activity points inland, with our cost structure to appoint a whole lot of more inspectors to address those nice-to-have issues. It just can't work in our business model right now. Dovetailing it with another question asked about the Act and how it allows us to audit, there is a possibility that the APS Act will allow the PPCB to audit rather than endpoint inspect those organizations that have very good systems in place. They have had a very good track record. So there's not a worry for them letting South Africa down. And that will allow the PPCB, instead of putting somebody every day into that organization to inspect every consignment that's leaving, to go there once a fortnight and check that their systems are still good. Then we can take those people to where they really are needed, rather than just employing a whole lot more legs on the ground. So that would be the ideal with the new Act coming in, and if DAF allowed us to do that, because they need to write the regulations to afford the PPCB to do that. With regard to the integrity, have we laid off anybody in the last year through a lack of integrity? I just know of one case in the north, and Sinovuyu, and Zaki, you might be able to help me out here, where we had a regional manager who, despite an intervention, and we explained to her how things work and how they should be done, insisted on doing it her way, which was not the right way. And unfortunately, in the PPCB, we have a very specific way on which we have to do things. We have to comply with law. And whilst we enjoy creativity from personnel, we can't really entertain defiance. So we had to address that matter, and we found issues happening in that part of our business where we weren't picking up papers that should have been processed, and they were just put in a box and put under a desk, and then the next thing you know, you're behind in your invoicing. So unfortunately, there comes a time when we can't tolerate that. So yes, we had a case of dismissal based on incapacity to do the job. I don't know if Mr. Makaya or Ms. Sinovuyu Mutai want to comment any further on that.
We don't have to do that, okay. Bearing in mind that we are not on an annual report. We are still now on the forward planning. So just that little detail, it should be enough. Then we'll come back to it when we deal with the report. Mrs. Okay. Paliso? Same issue? Should we allow them just to conclude on their responses? Thank you.
The varying income on products, the list, Johan, perhaps you might like to just clarify for the Portfolio Committee on that.
The largest income that we receive from product is from citrus, and last year it was 44.9 million rand, just on the inspection side. In terms of the second is 27 million rand received from grapes on the inspection side, and then palm fruit 19 million rand on the inspection side. If you look on this coal sea export side, the coal chain side, citrus is 21 million rand. So if you add citrus together, it's about 65 million rand income that we receive from citrus products. And the second one would be grapes. It's 26 on inspection and 7 million rand on the seaside. So that would be 33 million rand. Deciduous and grapes, deciduous and citrus represent about 60% of PPCB's income. The rest comes from the other product groups.
Thank you, Jan. In terms of trying to prevent CBS from happening, that's a very difficult one. I did mention in the chain that sometimes producers put in CBS infested product in the box, either knowingly or unknowingly, depending if they want to take a chance or they're just ignorant of the fact that there is CBS on the fruit, through to the PPCB not picking it up, through to importers also having challenges on identifying it. You can spray significantly as a producer, which is an added cost, and that's perhaps why some of them don't do that. But not being a technical specialist, I just want to check with either Mr. Boychok and Chabela behind me or Cyril Julius if there's technically anything we can do to prevent CBS from occurring that could allow for some intervention. Okay? Cyril?
Thank you, Chair. It is well known, even if you follow your spray program 100%, there's still a chance that you will get CBS. So, and it's progressive, that's making it more complex. It starts, the new controls that have instituted now with regard to the imminent threat from the EU, it starts with the orchard inspections, where the Department of Agriculture goes into the orchards. They do orchard inspection. PPCB's mandate has been expanded in the packhouse, so we do now inspection at any point in the packhouse, in addition to the already packed product. And I've also made the product now for the EU. We made it now time sensitive and also temperature sensitive. By time sensitive, you need to have your product within 4 days under cooling, where in the past there was no limit to that. And you need to store it now at 10 degrees maximum and also ship it at 10 degrees maximum. The idea with that is for the EU inspector to see the product in the same state as the PPCB inspector saw it. So you actually suppress or you arrest the development of the disease because it is progressive. So that those are new measurements that we've instituted now, so we hope that it will count in our favor. Thank you.
Mr. Nchibele, I don't know if you want to comment on the prevention of CBS at all. No? Okay. There was a question about, I think I understood as domestic conduct affecting our international reputation. It was conduct, I think, was it? I think from the gentleman who's not here any longer. If it is, the only conduct I can think of is that if a producer knowingly puts CBS in the box, then we have a problem. But I know that the producer organizations are taking serious steps to try and prevent that. I think it's innocence, you know, if you live in a remote area, you don't necessarily have contact with people who are trying to promote the country and understanding the significance of what they're doing. You know, they wouldn't take chances if they knew the downside of the chances they took. So I think it's an educational process, and I think it's a matter of time before the producer organizations get to all their members. Because that's really where it starts. But if we stand back, the actual problem is that we're throwing a lot of money and effort and time at the symptoms. We're not addressing the cause. The cause is a difficult and perhaps misinterpretation of science. And that's what's giving us all heartache and headache in the value chain, because the European scientists don't agree with the rest of the world, because it might infest orchards. So at this stage, I can tell you that we've had a very coordinated effort between the DG and Minister of Agriculture, the DG and Minister of DTI, and at this stage they've written letters to their counterparts overseas. We've prepared a full position paper on this about 10 days ago. That's now the basic paper from which all press releases and all ministers work from and the industries work from. It's compiled by industry and government. so everybody understands the whole picture involved here. And it looks like ministerial intervention is the next step, and I'm told even perhaps presidential intervention in the June presidential forum in Europe. I think there's something like that. So we're saying the last resort is to rely heavily on political intervention, because there seems to be no other solution right now. If Parliament was able to assist us, the country, in this, it would really be appreciated. Just one more, just perhaps about the logistics of our organization. We do have offices all over the country. One of the paper issues, challenges that we have, which was also referred to here, and the cost of our business, is that right now when we inspect, we do so with clipboard and pen. Those inspection papers have to be couriered to the nearest office that loads them in to get them onto our system down in Cape Town. Sometimes those papers take a long time to get the information translated into the system. Sometimes people translate that information incorrectly into the system. So to bypass that, the whole reason for tablet technology to come in is that when the inspector is in front of the product and they put that result of the inspection into that tablet, that goes immediately to the mainframe. So you cut out a lot of those steps. We will see perhaps the redundancy of our administrators. So in answer to the question of laying off people, we don't like to do that. We try and avoid that at all costs. And slowly we hope to absorb those people elsewhere in the organization. And not all administrators are involved in that type of admin. Chair, there are other questions which I know we haven't had time to answer. Do you want me to try and... Bivon? Mr. Boychok, aren't you better?
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members and colleagues. Just to speak a little bit about some of the issues, I think, firstly, with regards to what I would call the general trading environment, I think what is happening internationally in terms of the WTO rules is that the use of tariffs are coming to an end. Tariffs are generally used just like the poultry industry is asking government for protection to say institute tariffs. But the use of tariffs is gradually seeing the curtain closing. And therefore, countries are relying more on what are called non-tariff barriers. And an example could be what is being done now with CBS. And CBS in South Africa and EU has been a long-standing issue. I think it's probably 20 years old that we've had this discussion around CBS. We've recently had a meeting sometimes in mid to late March with the EU on this topic. And clearly, as Stuart has indicated, the EU is not budging. But I think the explanation also is somewhere in his own statement that our own success in terms of becoming the second largest exporter could be the explanation, and therefore that the EU is protecting Spain in terms of local consumption, because what it means is that they're consuming a lot of citrus from South Africa, so the natural thing is for them to protect themselves. I think I must mention also that the same five interceptions standard, it's not a standard per se, but sort of capture that if you do that, we're going to lose off your market, has been given to Brazil. So it's not only something that we are the only ones that facing. But generally, in terms of the use of NTBs, one could also mention Thailand as an example. One could mention Indonesia, wherein ultimately the volume of exports from South Africa has been negatively affected. Chair, I think I must also say something which might be probably not well received. I think it's important to note that by giving the PPECB sole right to give effect to inspections and certification is one of the reasons that they cannot compete with the private sector, because in essence you are giving them you are making them a monopoly. So they are a monopoly, and therefore it becomes a skewed competition when they have to compete with the private sector. I just thought I must mention that probably there could be other ways of doing it in ensuring that we support them, but I would propose that perhaps it would be best for the PPECB to approach the department where they see opportunity for DAF to assist, and I think then the powers that be can look at it and have a view as to whether what is possible in terms of assistance. The next issue that I thought is also important to speak to is the issue of inspections versus audits. It is desirable to shift from inspections to audits with a proviso that the industry that you audit has reached a level of maturity that they would not take chances. That's very crucial, because once you have one or two chance takers, you are exposing the entire country to a risk of having a market close. That is very important, and I think that's the discussion that we've had in the last 2 years with the PPECB, to say you really have to be very selective in terms of who you are going to audit, because if you choose willy-nilly, everybody will look at DAF and say we've lost the market. Not the PPECB, DAF. And that is why we have insisted and said that please see that this 2% is currently in legislation in terms of regulations. Let's ensure that we comply with it currently. If we are to move from that point to something else, it must be based on some degree of science. Thank you, Chair.
Well, why don't we take a quick break before that tea gets cold, and then within 10 minutes we're back. Will that be fine? Thanks. Can you start promptly at 11:30?